Dr. Ron House, John A. Logan College. Ron, how are you this morning, sir?
I'm fine, sir. How are you? Good morning.
Good. Hey, I got an unorthodox question for you.
All right. You usually do.
It's one of the reasons why I enjoy talking to you. You know, and I was thinking about this because you know it's going to be over. We all do. It's going to be over. This too will pass. All right. But, you know, it's interesting. I was privileged to be able to be involved in some construction projects, and we were taking a look at buildings, and when I walked into some of the buildings, I'm like, how long has this place been closed? 4 weeks. It looks like 4 years. You know, when you're not in a building and moving and keeping things going, you know, things slow down, both mentally, the people are in the building, and in the structure. I mean, if you were today asked, how do you restart a higher educational facility like this, how do you restart it after the things that have been done so far?
Well, it's much more difficult than it sounds. And what we actually did, of course, was shift all of our classes to online. And so we're very much still offering education. We still have hundreds of students that are engaged in educational activities. None of them are on campus, however. And so we're certainly not neglecting our campus at all, but things that we used to do routinely every day, they may get done once a week or once every 2 weeks for a while. And so it's hard to start back up. It's the biggest change is going to be the mentality of the people shifting from a remote kind of operation to one back face-to-face again, whenever that comes. And it's very difficult to do that. We're in our ninth day of this at John A. Logan College. It seems like we've been doing this for 6 months.
Right.
And so by the time we finish April in this mode, our mentalities are going to all have to be shifted back to the old traditional way. It'll take some time. It'll be interesting to see what summer semester looks like, and it'll really be interesting to see what fall semester looks
like. And see, and that was interesting that you mentioned that, because I'm thinking, well, what a stupid question to ask, restarting when really that's kind of built into the DNA of the school. There's a break here, there's a break here. But this is singularly different, and one of that is because of that, this is the way we do things now, and getting things changed and then reintegrating the class with the teacher. Because and some people say online learning is the future. There is always, in my mind, going to be the classroom setting and the self-discipline that comes from that, which is an integral part of higher education as well.
Absolutely. I don't know that it's the wave of the future. We're talking more and more about apprenticeships and journeymen and people that work directly with somebody in a trade and a skill. That's not online. That's face-to-face, hand-to-hand. And I don't think that's ever going to go away. And so, yes, it's a great thing. It's a great thing that we can still do what we're doing, but it's also a great thing to sit by your mentor and work with that person directly.
Well, you know, when you think about it, if you're online learning and you're saying learning computer-assisted drawing, architecture, engineering, mathematics, that's one thing on a screen. But if you're in the nursing program, it's not the same thing.
No, it doesn't work very well, and we're trying to figure out now with our career and technical education programs how we're going to finish those up. We will finish them up. We're just not sure how. It's pretty hard to build a Habitat for Humanity house online.
Right.
And so that's one of our major construction projects that we've have going on, and so we've got to figure out a way to make that work. It's different than English and math and things of that nature. And even the hard sciences like biology and chemistry that have a lot of labs, it's very difficult to change those from what we call wet labs to dry labs. And so it's been a big transition, and a lot of changes have been made. But we're still doing a great job, and we're still providing a high-quality education.
You know what I find is interesting? I was at Motormart buying gas, and a friend of mine introduced me to another man, and he says, I would like you to meet this guy. And he was telling me his story about his daughter, who's in college to the north, and saying, I'm paying for the tuition, I'm paying for the rooms, you know, and how do you learn sculpturing if it's on a computer? You can't do it. And all of her projects are left in the school, and she can't go because of the stay-at-home order to be able to get her projects back out and pick them up. And it's not that he was mad. He wasn't. It was just that, you know, he felt like he was, well, to be honest with you, he didn't feel like he was getting what he paid for.
Yeah, exactly. I don't disagree with that totally. There's some truth to that, but 90% of what you expect is better than none of what you expect.
All right. Believe that. So, I mean, do you ever see yourself in a position where you might need to reimburse somebody because of what they've paid to the school? Is that on your agenda?
Yes, it is. I don't have the details to get into that. But yes, we feel like that we certainly have an obligation to provide the kind of education that people signed up to get. And if they can't get that, then we need to make it right with them. And I don't know how any of that will look in the end. We're discussing those things just beginning right now. And so, yes, there is a possibility that would occur.
You know, we often have talked about the nursing program, and I don't think anybody knows the answer to this. After 9/11, you saw people say, I'll sign up for the U.S. Army. I'm ready. Let's go. I'll sign up for the Air Force. I want to be a Marine. I wonder that when this is over, or if young men and women right now are saying, I see what's going on around me. I know there are opportunities. I may not have a lot of money to go to medical school, but you know I can go to nursing school at John Aylin College and get my foot in the door. I wonder if the people who want to sign up for your class will go to half or will triple, because it'll be one or the other.
It will. You're exactly right, and I can't tell you which it'll be.
No.
We won't know that until we get our campus back open. We are taking registrations now online, but that's slow. We're taking registrations for summer and fall, and people are not anxious to register right now, and I get that. And so we'll just have to wait and see. My biggest concern in all of this is, as you mentioned, we'll get through this blip. But the overall long-term problem that we're all going to have in education is finances.
Yes.
I just was listening to your radio station earlier, and in the last 2 weeks there have been 10 million people file for unemployment. That has to dramatically change the state budgets, all of them, Illinois and everybody else, as well as the federal budget. And so the long term of this is how we're going to survive financially.
Right. And what Ron talking about, last 2 weeks, 10 million, the new jobless report, the last week, 6.6 million unemployment applications, first time applications.
That's astounding. That's astounding. That's more people than most states have in them.
Yeah. That's an interesting perspective. I'm going to steal that, by the way, Doc.
You can have that.
Just so you know. You know, what's interesting, and knowing IT guys and men and women as I do, you go out and you say, hey, we're going to teach online classes, and the IT and the engineers going, hold on a second. Wait a second. It's not, you can't just push a button and make this happen. Hello? You've had that conversation too, haven't you?
We have had that conversation, and the thing that we and most other colleges have had is a very successful online program on a smaller scale than what we're doing now, and so we have a lot of experience to draw from. We have a lot of good people that have been in our institution for a long time. And so that transition was probably smoother for us than you might imagine.
Good.
But it is a tough transition.
Yeah, and it's interesting you mention it, because we're having the conversations here too. What happens if, right? And you know, the minute you said it, it made perfect sense. We've got, and you do have a lot of experience online. I met a nurse who had to come here for just an exam, and she's from well up in South Central Illinois, who was taking her classes, I think, on radiology. And she had to come here for her test, but most of her stuff had been online. So what you're saying is you took what your experience and you upscaled it.
We did. And we've had some equipment issues and various things like that, but we've tried to accommodate everybody in that regard. And we've certainly done the best we can do with that. And we've had very few hitches and very few complaints. The problem that we've had is trying to convert students who are not really tuned into the online approach and delivery of education and say, look, this is what you need to do for the rest of this semester. And that's been a mindset problem. And so we're probably going to lose a few students that just don't want to make that transition or don't feel that they can. Not as tough as it sounds like. We'll give you a laptop if you want to do it. And so, but we've had a little difficulty with that. And I understand it. If I were doing it, I might be in that same category.
Right. I get that too. Fear of the unknown. It's intimidating. You're right. You're already being challenged in the learning process. And now it's like you and the teacher don't speak the same language, and you're frustrated by it. I mean, I kind of see that as a metaphor, I think.
Yes.
You know, as you continue to look at this, there's one thing, and I'm curious about this, because this story, to be honest with you, one of the office holders in the state of Illinois contacted me from Northern Illinois after listening to the program. And when I had pointed out, along with Robert, that at Southeastern Illinois College, they were opening a hotspot in their parking lot for X number of cars to be able to come so they could have internet access. It's weird when you have it, you take it for granted. And, you know, in an inherently rural area, if you have internet service, it isn't sufficient to the task. I've lived in that situation using satellite stuff that doesn't work very well, but it works. That's the one that I think aggravated me when I see us spending billions of dollars on infrastructure for internet and then finding out that students can't attend their class at a junior college in Southeastern Illinois because they don't have internet access.
That's right. You don't have to go to Southeastern. We have that same situation in Logan's district as well, and we too have set up a hotspot on a parking lot that nobody has used. What we think we're finding, Tom, is that these people are very creative. Our students are very creative. And although they may not have a hotspot at their home, they'll find a place. They've got a friend or a neighbor or someplace that they can go. And probably the last place they want to go is back on the parking lot at Logan's, sit there and look at their laptop while they're listening to music on their car radio.
Right.
And so it has not been well used. I'd be curious to know how Southeastern's doing. But we have it available. It's available every day, at least 5 days a week. And so, but we've not had many takers on that. But we think that they're getting their hotspot someplace else.
Good. So if somebody said, oh, really? There's access that I can pull onto the lot and I can take my class in my car. Where would they learn that information, Ron?
That's been put out on our website. We have we try to stay in contact with our students through our Vol text and with our Vol mail, email and text, and that has been available since day one of all of this. And so it's out there. It's the west parking lot between the fitness center and the main entrance on the west side.
Good.
And about anywhere on that parking lot is a good spot. And anybody's welcome to use that that needs to do it.
And then the password would be up at the website, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I think password's just Ron House, I think.
Yeah, that'll do it, yeah.
What should I ask you about John A. Logan College's future today, Ron? I mean, we always talk about this, what we have to offer, but the landscape has changed and our behavior has changed. And when you try to stand on your tiptoes and look over the horizon of the earth just beyond what we can't normally see, what do you see?
Well, I see us changing a little bit because of the financial implications down the road for all of this. But Logan is alive and well. You drive out there, you won't see very many cars on the lot. You'll say this place is dead. It's not. We're not closed. We are closed to the public, but we are certainly providing all the services that we provided before and will be. And it's alive and well. There's a little hitch in our get along here because of all of this, but nothing has changed. We have dedicated faculty. We have dedicated employees. We have dedicated board of trustees. And as we come out of this, everything will eventually get back to some aspect of normal. I don't know that it'll take a long time to get it 100% back, but it'll be close enough that people won't know the difference. And so we're doing fine. We're all on board. It's amazing how some of us old guys learn how to read email on a phone and do conference calls,
right,
and things of that nature, which go on every day. There's as much staff activity now collectively as there ever has been since I've been there. And so we're fine. We've just got to get through this pandemic. The first thing is to get through safely. And then the second thing is to get back where we were.
You know, it's interesting. You know, if you drive by a car crash and you see physics, you see momentum and inertia and mass. And you know what's interesting is I see all of those things, but not as quantifiable in an educational facility, especially when it comes to momentum. And by having these teleconferences, I think you keep a sense of momentum on an administrative level because it exists. We can't qualify it like we can in Newtonian physics, but I do not doubt for a second it exists in your context.
And what we've done technically, you know, there's a lot of things in nature that you can't see. You can't see electricity. You can't feel light. And so we've just transitioned from the physical world to a less physical world in our delivery system. It's there. You just can't see it. If you were participating in it, you would know it was there. You know there's light when you flip the switch. And so we've just entered that realm. We entered it rather suddenly, as a matter of fact. And I think that's what makes people a little bit uneasy is that the transition didn't exist. We went from A to Z in about 3 days.
Yep. Dr. Ron House, John A. Logan College. It's interesting, the story that Ron was saying, you can't see electricity. I'm working down in Tennessee, in Jackson, Tennessee. I'm waiting out a non-compete agreement so I can come back to Illinois and work, so I have to work out of state for 6 months. And I meet the guy who's one of our guys. He says, you know, that electricity, you can't see it. And I'm laughing really hard and because he's the engineer. And I'm like,
but you can feel it.
You can feel it. I'm like, oh, I think we're in trouble here if the engineer's going, oh, I don't like electricity because you can't see it. I'm like, I think we're in trouble now.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Dr. Ron House, president, John A. Logan College. As always, Ron, it's good to hear your voice, pal.
Thank you, Tom.